Blog Talk Radio.
I always forget about that, but anyways. Hey guys, welcome to Your Battle to Win. My name is Jared Leckie, and I am here with my mom, Jared Leckie. And did I spell that wrong? That's why we don't do things last minute anymore. I made a typo. Anyways, let me see if I can go fix that.
No, let's go live on the show.
We are live.
Well, hurry up.
We are live. All right. So, anyways, I'm loading that up right now. Okay. Hello, guys. So, this is Your Battle to Win. And last week, we dived deeper into the importance of not only understanding our opinion, but where the right time to the right way to go about your opinion, the importance of expressing it with other people, and how that plays into our relationship with God, and why He wants to hear our opinion. And this week we're going to be talking about the undermining of your power. So the way that we get in the way of expressing our opinion. And what am I? Did I just brain fart? You explain it then. If I'm gonna brain fart, you should explain it. Take over.
He's multitasking. I'm like, no, don't do that. He's doing it. And then he didn't quite explain last show for those who were on the show and then who weren't. But that's all right. Multitasking is not always good when you're live. Last week's were on the power of our opinion and really becoming clear on the fact that all we have are our opinions. We are the culmination of all our opinions. That's kind of where we're at. But the amazing thing is that's not concrete, right? It's something that's changeable. It's not something that we're supposed to be left with our opinions that we had when we were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, any age, at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Those opinions are not supposed to remain the same, right? They're supposed to develop and grow. So the shows prior were really digging into how important it is to have our opinions. We really have to be in touch with these opinions because we really can't build on them unless we are. And then if we really realize that what the Father wants us to do when we pray is really express ourselves in the form of our opinions. So we give Him our opinions. We don't want to be necessarily giving our opinions. We need to use discretion and prudence and all these things, discreetness, when we give our opinions to each other, right? So kind of when you were talking, that's why I was kind of chuckling, because it's like, okay, well, we can clean that up, but then you started going different ways, trying to fix the wording on our show. So so that's my opinion to that from last week. So the important thing is that when we come to the Father with our opinion, he really acts upon them. And He acts upon them in different ways. He acts in where it aligns with His will. He is pleased because the whole getting to know Him is about agreeing with Him and understanding who He is. And when we take on His nature or we identify with it, we agree with Him, there is power in that. And that kingdom come and His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. All that is power. That isn't, we really have to think and define these terms, because He says that He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we think or ask, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever to all generations, so be it. So, those were really key things. Now, this week, we're going to go how we undermine our power, right? The undermining of our power comes from the negative portions of our opinions, those things that don't agree with the Father. He still wants us to take those to Him, and so we're going to talk about that, because that's really key in understanding what prayer is for, really being able to really see what He's saying to us about why he says pray without ceasing and pray for everybody. You know, we have opinions about everybody. So he says, you know, I urge you, above all, I urge you, brethren, to make supplication, petitions, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all men, because we have an opinion about all men. Hey, he made a comment. So the thing is, we have to see where we have power and we use that power correctly, or how we need to use it, or how we want to develop into using that power correctly. And then we also want to take a look at what we do that undermines it. We could not neglect that, right? We just really have to reorient us the last couple of weeks. But this time, we're going to talk about, you know, the unpowerful pity party, you know, that we have that undermines our power. You know, the unpowerful pity party of your opinion.
Oh, yes.
So, I believe really the Lord gave me that, because it just came out of left field and I was just going, that's interesting. And then I started thinking, you know, the pastors usually get messages that they need to work on. So I had to take a look at that. It was quick. It was like, I see it. I see that when I have my pity parties, it's because I don't feel like I have power. I don't feel like I trust the Lord. But he wants us to come to him with those opinions too. And so we have to see that when we do have our pity party opinions, that they are just as important as the good ones, because they are still us. They are part of who we have become, our soul even. And we want that to be removed, right? We want to be purified and refined. So, are you connected? Are you?
Yeah, I was listening though, because I don't have a comment yet.
Oh, I have to keep going until you have a comment?
Sure, or we can sit in silence. That's my opinion.
Well, as long as the listeners don't mind.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, so the key is here is, you know, it becomes clearer to me that the whole culture as a whole is intentionally, you know, I can only speak really for America, but we were talking a little bit. I met one person who grew up in Mexico, in Mexico City, and Oaxaca and Tijuana. And then I met someone that same, like within 15 minutes, who was working at an orphanage in Oaxaca. No, she was in Cuernavaca. She was in Oaxaca. And they're relatively close, and I've been to both those cities. Actually, I've been to all the cities that we talked about, which was also Veracruz, which was interesting, you know, that I met these people. So we were really talking about the Mexican culture. So really, because I can see a few cultures that I've been a part of, I do believe that we all go through the same thing, is that we have a way of being brought up, but it's not necessarily brought up in Scripture. And wherever we are brought up in Scripture, we build on that and we become stronger and we're more competent. But wherever we weren't brought up in Scripture, then we have to learn it, or we struggle through it, or we build upon a wrong opinion, something that's not quite sound, right? Not a sound mind, not a sound opinion, not something that we're going to be able to hang our hats on, you know, that's going to have longevity. So we want to change the culture, right? That's the whole purpose of having Truth Emerges, right? This is the purpose of a lot of people that listen to our shows on the station, as well as other ones that are progressing. You know, even people that are on the traditional political battles right now that a lot of us see are kind of taking everyone wayward. The people, for most part, people want to do what's right, but we are so disoriented because culturally we started on a foundation that is so insecure, unstable. It's not built upon the foundation. It's on sand. It's not built on the foundation of scriptural principles. Now, I'm going to back up a second, because I'm someone who firmly believes that America, as has been able to have the successes that we've had, and there are many, and we can't overlook those, and sometime we'll really get into that, maybe even the show. But there's so many, because that's part of our opinions, and people's opinion and not being able to see the good that's happened and the good that the Lord has done, or that we have built upon His word, like you said, that things, when storms have come, you know, even though it's, you know, relatively short lifespan that America has had, we still have had some amazing strengths and amazing things, accomplishments and things that have never been seen to date, you know, up until these centuries, birthed out of the foundation that was laid to have our free will so much stronger, our opinions, therefore, being able to come out so much stronger with intentionality. However, what we're talking about right now is that it is still very weak, but there's so much, the battle is for us not to have that type of understanding of free will and understanding how to continue to build upon and promote upon the power of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. In the use of that free will. And so where I'm headed with this is that in our upbringing, which includes in our country public education, whereas in some other cultures they don't have it quite as long or quite as maybe whatever. I mean, I've read all these different things about how insufficient our public education is. Well, but the point I'm wanting to make is that insufficiency really comes from not helping children develop a sound opinion, to really understand.
Not just a sound opinion, but their own opinion, because there's a lot of sound in terms of that certain idea, but in terms of what the word sound, like there's sound in their opinions, but the idea, the opinions themselves aren't sound.
And how do you get a sound opinion?
By being able to actually test it out. And I think a lot of it has to do with experience and being able to not necessarily taste what's out there, but be guided in a way that you can, that you have a good foundation that you could build your own opinions off of and understand where truth comes from.
Okay, how does that foundation start then? How can anyone know that they're giving? How would a parent know that they're giving their child a good foundation? I mean, because we have a lot of opinions, that everyone thinks their opinion is really good.
Are you implying that you didn't give me a good foundation? I'm just kidding.
I'm not implying that's for you.
I'm kidding.
Right? For each one of us. No. I mean, of course, that's my opinion. However, I can see the whole. I was like, oh, remember, I don't know if it was with you or one of your brothers, it was like dawned on me like, oh, my goodness, the first thing I should have taught my kids is how to have patience. You know, I was patient with you. I had a lot more strength of patience, I think.
That's why I'm more patient than my other brothers.
Could be.
Because I can be very patient with people. Like, I am extremely patient with people.
But I was actually patient with them, but I don't know if I really taught. Well, there were.
I don't remember you ever teaching me patience, but somehow it's something that I just have.
No, I did. I remember, actually, you're probably the only one I did actually say things like, I said it to them too. You know, love is patient, love is kind. But the emphasis is what I'm saying.
Well, the character builders thing was something that I enjoyed. I made you order the entire collection because I liked them so much.
But that's what I'm saying. So the thing is that...
You're just like 7-year-old me.
Get them off! Those
things...
Hold on.
Side note, I was a little salty when I wanted the rest of them, so you just ordered the VHS that had all of them on it at once. And I was like, I wanted them all individually. I wanted to collect them all, and I just have them all.
I think I kind of can even remember the sentiment when it was there. I think I just said, it doesn't matter, or something like that. You won't lose them, or something.
Yeah. You look at them right there. You'll never lose them, or you can lose them all.
Well, so my point is, yes, you can see that I taught, it was a priority to me. Patience was an important thing, but it dawned on me that I never made it the importance that it really has. It was just one in a huge mix of important things. And so that's where I think we are deficit as a culture, because we haven't really, like, you don't move on putting all the walls up until the foundation is laid and it's strong. You just don't do it. It's just not smart, right? It's just not wise. Now, other places do not have quite the building codes and all that kind of things, and some countries do better and some countries do worse with how they construct things, but it doesn't really matter how they do. The laws of nature still remain. You want the best foundation possible. Well, it depends on how much time and material you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going to build a child, right, their life or a culture, right, we want to take some time and say, all right, what are the things that are the foundational things? And we can't do all of them at once because a child cannot absorb all of it at once, right? So which are the key? And I think that's where it hit me that, okay, I ought to have, focused on maybe one, because that's where a child could really focus, right? And if I would have chosen one, it would have been patience. But at that time, I would have never thought of it. I thought it was love. Well, love's kind of an abstract. Or patience is something.
And love is a greater thing that's built up of a lot of
patience.
Other things. Well, there's other things. I think the one that I think is the most important to learn, though, is self-control.
How come it comes last as the first?
I don't know. I mean, self-control is patience in a way. You can have I can't picture somebody having a lot of control of themselves but not being patient.
Okay, so now, as an adult, I am realizing that joy takes more self-control than any of the other spiritual gifts for me. Like before...
Spiritual gifts or spirit?
Spiritual fruit.
Spiritual.
Yeah. So, or even, this is rejoice always and all this. And then when I was younger and didn't have teenagers and young adults... Seriously, right? I also figured joy just came naturally. It wasn't something that you could contrive, right? It wasn't you were trying to force yourself to have joy. You would just rejoice, you'd be happier, you have enjoyment. However, because I had that thinking, because I hadn't been coached, right, then I didn't realize that does take self-control. So having joy and not losing the joy takes self-control. But so why is it last then? Why isn't it said first?
I don't know. I've always been curious why it's at the end when I think it'd be like one of the most important ones.
So how for a child, how would a parent go about saying, like, because so patience is the first construct for love, right? In terms of the passage, right? Love is patience. It's how Paul started. So that's why I started realizing, wow, that's pretty wise. That a parent teaches patience by being patient with their child. And the enormity of patience that it requires to be patient with a child is absolutely huge that you have no idea yet.
maybe that's why I like have a mindset that I'm patient. And yet at the same time, I'm completely impatient at the exact same time. So like I want to be patient and I'll be like, okay, I understand the importance of being impatient. But at the exact same time, I'm like, why isn't this happening now? Why isn't this happening right now?
Right. And so some of that's what I've exhibited to you as an older child. Like I was very patient with you on your
Describe, so define older. Because my definition of older is like 16, 17.
Fourth grade. I lost my patience with you at
third. Oh my God. Older. Come on. You're like, twice my age and... Older is 4 years old. Fourth grade, not 4 years old.
That's nine. I had a lot more, and maybe that's part of it too, is comparing myself and you at nine or eight.
I always felt incredibly judged whenever you talk about yourself as a kid, about all the things that you try to do. I'd be like, oh, I feel so judged. She's trying to make me feel bad for not being as good as her.
I wasn't trying to make you. I was trying to motivate you.
No, it never worked.
Well,
it's because it's like... Because it's like, oh, so in order to be seen as a good child, I have to be exactly like my mom. But I don't want to be exactly like my mom. I mean, I do want to do well, but not in that area because that's not what I'm passionate about. She obviously wanted to do that. I don't. I want to do other things that, in my mind, are just as important as those things were to her, and it just made me do it.
Okay, so this is a good place for us to, like, really delve into the idea
delve.
Of into diet.
You said delve.
What? I think that's a word, too.
Delve.
I think it is.
No, I think it was a combination of dive and...
There is a word, delve. You delve into it. Delve into things.
It's
like, yeah, you can look it up on your phone. So the idea that it's my opinion and your opinion, right? So they're very different. Like, my opinion was not to judge you. I mean, I you think about all the things and all the freedom I gave you and all the encouragement and everything I did to support you to be your own person and make your own decisions. And that actually was some of the things that I look back at and I feel are mistakes because I let you run too freely. And that's where at third and fourth grade I started realizing, oh, my goodness, this is not going quite the way that I thought it would go if I gave you all this freedom because I didn't have that freedom as a kid. But I do look at how I conformed, being, you know, Japanese American, how conforming I was to things and then how much I was able to accomplish. But I lacked the freedom. And I always was very sad that I never felt free to just express myself. So I gave you complete permission to do that. But at the same time then, there were a lot of things that I had to let kind of go. As freedom took more, you know, precedence over the self-control. Right, so maybe you see the power of self-control, whereas I was given, you know, I was made, I was judged into whatever you want to think, to have a lot of self-control as a child. I mean, a lot more than what.
Yeah, I feel like my brothers have a lot more. They like going to count, which is funny because like I feel like, I mean, I do have a lot of availability to do what I want, but I feel like Josh and Jesh have a lot more flexibility when it comes to that. And I mean, it's understandable each of us are handled differently because we're at different ages and different places in our lives. But I've always thought that at my age, with where I was at versus where they're at, was that they have a lot more leeway than I did. Not saying that that's a problem. In some respects, I understand why it works for them. But at the same time, it's like I'm kind of glad that it, and for certain reasons that I were for where I'm at now, I'm glad that it was the way that it was. There's a lot of other things where I'm like, well, it could have been done differently.
You pulled yourself out of that quickly because I was ready to say, oh, this is perfect. You're talking about your own pity party of your opinion. No, just to be funny.
It is.
It is a pity party
of my own opinion. I'm not proud of my pity party, but it is a pity party. It is what it is.
Which isn't necessarily bad because they are really starting points for us, but we have to identify them like you're saying. Because the funny thing is like, wow, you don't even understand how much more freedom that I gave you than I gave the other two. Like, I was much more structured with them earlier than I did with you.
I think when it came to helping me to a standard of, because I was the oldest, that's why I have such a, I guess, when it comes to being at home, like, I like to put Josh and Jesh in the place when it comes to the quote-unquote pecking order, like, because that was something that I just retained, was understanding how important my role is as the eldest, so I expect to be treated as such, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. This comes out. Because then where was the example of that pecking order? Because that's really always the conversation, right? But it is good to hear your opinion, because I haven't heard this portion of it.
Well, I don't know. I think that the first thing is that I'm going to try to avoid saying they as much as possible because their problem is their problem. It's not my fault. But I think that I feel like when it comes to people, everybody notices certain things about a person different than somebody else does. And it takes a while before you can shift that perspective of somebody, especially when you have, like, a moment that you would consider a first impression, whether it be from a brand-new person you met or somebody that you've known practically your entire life.
Okay, well, hold on. Can you keep your train of thought? Because I just want to, because I don't think we'll ever come back to this if I don't say something. But this is one of those things, fundamental things, of education that I'm saying that needs to be at the foundation is that no one should have an opinion formed about a person by meeting them or their or what they can see at the moment. Nobody should do that.
Yeah.
And that needs to be taught early. I mean, we think, you know, when we see...
I was taught, in the way it was imprinted on me, was you have an opinion and you let the person, like, shape the opinion as time passes. Because at the beginning, they're a person, and then you just learn about all the components of the person. You don't actually, like, I don't know. That's basically it.
What do you mean?
Like you make a first impression, and but you don't bait you. At least that's how I thought back then. That you know you can see a lot about a person by the way that they are, but then it's like net recently. So now I can't like do that now.
So what you're saying is you can see that that's not a good way to think, right?
No, but that's from my understanding. That's the way you were supposed to look at other people.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Because it's like I didn't teach you that. In fact, I would really
no because whenever we would meet somebody, we would always like as a family, you'd always talk about who they are, what you thought about them, and you know I like this and I didn't like this, and then as we continue to hang out with them, every time you're like. You'd get upset because they weren't acting the same as they were when you first met them, and this and the thing, and oh, that's their problem, and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, well, I guess the right thing for a person to do is to be as consistent as possible. And so that's, you know, now it saves me a lot of headache understanding that people are going to do their own thing because that's what they want to do and that's who they are, and you got to let that happen. Just whenever your paths cross, it works out or whatever, but, you know.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying or who you're referencing.
I'm not referencing nobody. I'm just saying it. Because it happens to everybody.
Well, okay. So what I was thinking about today, when there's an autistic, there's someone showing an autistic blind child. I was going to call him child. He's a little older, you know, young man, and young, maybe in his early teens, or maybe a little younger, somewhere in that group. And he could see amazingly. Like I would almost out of anything that I've ever heard, listened to in terms of worship music, I would want to hear him singing and worship with him all day long. I mean, you know, I would just love to have a whole, you know, album, 2, 3, 4 albums that he would produce, okay? I don't know if other people think that way, but that's what I heard when I heard him. But when they were saying, you know, his talent, I was like, well, okay, this is going to be good, but I can't see it. Like, I'm looking at him, and I'm not someone, like, that's what I'm listening to, going, that's interesting, because I'm not someone who, like, I really have conscientiously, since I was young, not put, like, a label on a person when I meet them. Like, I've trained myself over a long period of time, and I wouldn't usually tell people what I thought about people, and then I've been very disciplined about that. I mean, I had this one horrible work situation, and one of my best friends, who we would run and talk about everything, because he didn't know the situation, I wasn't going to talk about it. It didn't matter, right? It didn't matter if I expressed what this person was like or not like. And so then, you know, we were just friends, but we had a Christmas party, and so I thought, you know what, it'd be neat to hear his opinion on these people because I want to see if we form the same opinion because we thought a lot alike. But so it worked to my benefit that I had never shared anything about their personalities or what my opinion was on their personalities. Mm-hmm. And so then after he met them, you know, we had dinner and all this stuff, we, you know, just did our normal college thing and just ran, you know, just talking away, right? Okay. I said, I'm like, so what did you think? What did you perceive, right? So he went and just, blah, 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 telling you all that he perceived within the first evening. And so it was just really cool because I had formed none of it for him. So it was really neat to hear that there was a lot of similarities, and it was like seeing what kind of perception that he could have. Because, I mean, that was kind of an experiment, too, because, you know, even though we would talk and we would form our conclusions about whatever we did and people and the different situations that we were in, then I got to see how consistent it could be because, you know, we could be really off course. But I really feel like people have to be really careful just because you agree with somebody about somebody else doesn't mean a thing. But it means a little bit more when somebody who doesn't know somebody
can do that and come up with very similar conclusions with someone who works day in and day out with the same people, and
yeah.
informs a perception of them. And so, so that was an interesting experiment. But my point is about the boy, his name's Christopher, and just the amazingness of his, you know, his presentation, being autistic, and you could not even see it. Like, if you just looked at him and he was impatient, just sitting up there impatient, he was just acting like a little kid, couldn't stand still, or he's being introduced, you know. A lot of the normal autism things are a lot of the normal, like, just, you know, maybe an ADHD type, you know, and you could not even see. Like, I'm like, knew that there's got to be something amazing. You couldn't see at all. But that's just the thing. The other day, I felt like someone was really judging me, actually a couple times this last week, and I just felt like, you know, I don't come across like I have anything to offer anybody. If you look at me, it's just like, you know, you're just not up on the trends, you're not up on the, you're not somebody who a lot of people, based upon what they value, would value, right? Kind of like Paul says, you know, I'm not impressive when I come, but my words are weighty, or whatever, I can't remember exactly, but I was just thinking that. It's just like, we can't do that with people. We have to, those opinions need to be developed early. They need to be trained early that those opinions need to be developed well, and that's what the show is
over a
about.
Period of time, too.
Well, not necessarily just over a period of time, but the ability to form the correct opinions, like you said, has to be, we have to pay attention to it, especially now as a culture. I think we are. I mean, like, that's why I love the Facebook, social media, because I get to watch how we think, how people think, right? You know, it's not just this big social experiment on us, but it's something that we get to see, you know, how, what is the potential for us to get it back? Everything that we didn't figure out that our culture messed up on and missed or whatever. So, you know, so then the idea that we should have or could have and maybe still need to develop some kind of way to have a foundation, and then to do that foundation even now as adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
To come up with a foundation of everything we missed, the patients we talked about earlier, and then you know, the whole thing now. I mean, there's a lot more we have to do now, and we can gain it a lot faster than when we were younger. And that the Lord always redeems things in ways that we just can't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of my problems of my. I'm gonna have a little pity. One of my things is you are so distracting. This time he's falling asleep. There was another show.
What?
There like that too.
What?
And then it's distracting. I can't think.
That's your opinion.
It is.
It's your opinion that I'm. Yeah,
I feel powerless. I don't know. What happens if you start snoring?
That's my opinion.
Too bored. No, he has been doing way too much. He's been burning the candle at too many ends, which is not
too many ends. It's more than two ends on this candle.
On the side. It's all just melting into one dude.
One ball.
But we're
I can't
here.
Wait for this month to be over.
We're here, and I'm laughing. And
it's
so
a good thing.
It is, especially for the show, because it's like, this is something for the topic of the show, because he slides them sideways in the house like 15 minutes before the show starts. We don't have all this stuff together. And
I was falling asleep in the car on the way
computer,
here.
And I can't do anything here, and I overworked out
that's your,
today.
That's your opinion that you can't do anything on the computer.
Okay. No, I can do things on the computer. I didn't have the computer. Did you leave it here?
Yes.
Oh, I thought,
been here.
I was certain you had it.
No, I was in Jess's room.
Anyways. So he slides them sideways, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be patient. You know, he's texting me. He tells me he's going to be here. He's not here.
I was home in 10 minutes.
It's good. And then when it was 10 minutes, it was still 10 minutes. And, you know, then all of a sudden, it's 3 minutes after 7. And I was patient. And so then I'm like,
well,
I'm like, can you hurry? And he's like, what's your problem? And it's just like, and he's like, this is perfect for the show. So I'm like, I don't get it, but I figured I'd bring it up since you're falling asleep.
I'm not falling asleep. I'm right here.
Okay. So
So the thing is that we do feel powerless, and that's when we start throwing our pity parties. And it was maybe a small, little pity party, but it was also the fact that you weren't responding in the way that you needed to respond. So now,
or the way that you want me to respond.
Okay, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what exactly very small thing, and then we can get to some bigger things.
What was the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit says love is patient, and He also says to be at peace.
He also says, love is not rude, and you're being extremely rude. And I was being extremely patient.
Are you talking about right now? Are you talking about when we were setting up the broadcast?
Not just when we were setting it up, but for the hours prior to it and the days prior, being patient for this to happen, then it comes 3 minutes late. And I don't like things late, and I was patient. No one would have ever known that I was being, you know, that I have a problem with being late. And even at 1 minute late and at 2 minutes late.
Once it hit three, it goes right through the room.
I'm sitting there, you went and got some water.
No, I didn't. I was in the room.
You did. You went and took that thing and drank.
Yes, because I thought you needed to type something.
Anyway.
So I was like, I'm going to do everything for my mom, and all she has to do is say a quick thing, and then she clicks OK, and we start.
And I had texted you that. I had texted that there was no need to describe it because it was pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
You missed that. But the point is that we lose our composure. We throw pity parties
mm-hmm.
because we feel powerless. And I felt powerless because now we were late.
That's what I told you.
And I feel like we have an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
This is internet, and, you know, our show isn't, like, tremendously huge. And if it was, actually, if we have a lot of listeners and we were 3 minutes late, I wouldn't feel as stressed because people would know we are consistent and they would wait. It would be like, oh, something happened and, you know, we'll wait. But when we're small and it's not, you know, it's just, you know, they might go, oh, they must not be doing it. Or, you know, they could be late themselves. But my point is not necessarily the reasoning. The thing is that what do you do when something is official and people around you are not doing their responsibility? This is a small example, but this is always the example. This carries to everything else. It's always about us feeling that we're being responsible and somebody is not. That is the whole opinion issue. The opinion is, I'm right, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I'm right because of these reasons. Okay, so now we talked about the power of these opinions to bring to the Father and really square off, like, okay, you know, are these correct? And then how would you please act on them? Because obviously that's what you want me to say. You know, you want to be participating with you, not just parroting something. But you really want me to come and deal with this. Now, how am I going to deal with it in those couple seconds that I'm, like, talking to you? I'm going from patient. Like, oh, my goodness, we're going, this is, like, what's going on? So the thing is,
it felt like you thought that I was going to wait another 20 minutes before going on.
That's what I felt like. It felt like at least another 2 minutes, and five after is now, I mean, 1 minute late or 2 minute late, you know, when you really think about it, it's no big deal. But once you get 3 minutes and you're doing it, and this, we're just talking about this because this is an example, right? Maybe dumb example, but example nonetheless.
A relevant example.
Maybe. But, you know, and something that he thinks isn't a big deal, and maybe he doesn't think it's a big deal because he also has more experience. You have to tell me, how would Steve handle this? If you started the radio show, because he's done radio broadcasting, if you started the radio show on a much more listened-to official radio on the normal airwaves station, if you started the show 3 minutes late...
No, we the show, like, it's, sometimes it's fine, like, it's okay to have the show start a little bit late, and then we get to punch in wherever we need to. I mean, obviously it's within reason.
But there's no dead air.
No, there's never dead air, but we get to choose when we come in between songs.
Okay, so that's the point, because there's no song to say that this is going. If I know you told me Steve has gotten very upset if there's dead air time. And mm-hmm. so that those 3 minutes is three long minutes of dead air time. That's how I felt.
Now, again, you're more of an expert than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I was okay with the 1 or 2 minutes, but that 3rd minute was just painful. Especially when you moved away from the computer. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm trusting you. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, he didn't hit whatever, you know, load or whatever. So that's when I started getting, like, a little bit like, ugh.
And see, sometimes usually, like, we'll start shows, but we always have to play a top-of-the-hour reel. And sometimes, you know, depending on what the program is for the day, that's where the spots get put. It's either, like, sometimes it'll go intro and then a couple spots, and then we go in, or the intro, couple songs, then we go, or intro, we go straight in, and then there's a couple songs. Like, it's always varying.
Right, but there's not dead space. And so, you know, part of it, too, is our age differences and
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, you excuse certain things and I see them as being needing to be handled a certain way. And I think it's not just, we're not talking about just this little 3-minute show thing. We're talking about, this is what happens, you know, with people that are my senior. I mean, on Facebook is a funny example, you know, of funny examples that, you know, people look at my Facebook pic and they have no idea how old I am, right? So when they talk to me, especially some of these older people, it's just like, you're very, like, talking down to me. And we've had to go through it, one of my friends, a couple times. I'm like, well, how old are you? And she's like, I guess nobody knows who she is, so 62, right? And I'm like, I'm not that far off your heels. And she's like, oh. And we have to go back multiple times over this. You know, like she acts like I'm just some, I mean.
It stinks when, and I have the
and
same.
And I do this too, I'm sure.
I have the same problem. People think I'm like 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, let's put the most awkward example just for the sake of entertainment. But, like, I'll have 16 and 17-year-old girls, like, trying to hit on me. And I'll actually, sometimes I'll have to be in conversation, like, do you actually know how old I am? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, take a guess, because it's really entertaining, and it makes them feel awkward, and I love it. But I'll be like, 17, 18, 19? And when they go to 19, I'm like, yo, don't get it. 21. And they'll be like, oh. Half of them stop talking to me after that point, because they're just like.
Because it sounds old to them.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, from an older person's standpoint,
it's all the same. It's all the same.
21's about the same. But,
yeah.
But the thing is that our opinions, we need to, like, the fact that we do this is probably not necessarily always the best, but we should be able to talk these things out. These are the things that kids should talk out, and it should be talked out year to year. Like, if we did have, I personally don't believe we should have a public education where it's run the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we had some kind of means that people could come together, you know, yearly to help each other in learning the very fundamental things and the foundations that need to be laid so that we have a culture that functions and thinks better automatically, right? More automatically. Because, you know, that's the whole push is that, I mean, you know, like we talked about earlier, the left and the right, that their push is that they feel that opinion is so valid that they end up losing sight of some of the deeper things because they haven't necessarily figured out that they're being fooled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I was definitely one of them. And I'm not saying that I'm even that far from it. A culture is so easily fooled by so many different things. So opinions are important, but they can also undermine our power if they're not dealt with correctly. So the correct thing we talked about the last couple weeks was the most correct thing is that we bring our opinions to the creator of all of us and our opinions, you know, the idea that we all get to have opinions, and we bring it to him. But now what undermines our power is when we don't bring it to him.
Yep.
Like you said to me, what did the Holy Spirit say? Well, I felt too frantic to necessarily say, what do you say? Because it's like, there is that point that's like, maybe I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly.
I just want to start the show.
That's why I cannot go to church and I can hear and I can feel the message, because it's something that I've learned that, like, because I used to be that way where it's like everything has to be done perfectly at this time and this and this, and I got to be my deadlines and all this. In my understanding now, almost the way I was dressing, the way that I was perceiving it was dumb. Not saying that it's wrong to achieve your goals and meet deadlines, because there is a time and a place for that. But the way I was putting the in order of priorities, I was putting my deadlines and things I had to get done over my obedience.
Right.
And so I got to the point where I'm like, I just need to care about my ultimate obedience over these deadlines. And so that way, and so now, like, I don't stress about deadlines. Either if they're supposed to get done, they will get done. And if they're not, then they won't. And I'll call them and they'll apologize. And I'll say, hey, this is what happened. I couldn't make it, so I couldn't do it. Or this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry, I can't do this, this, and this. I'll do this, this, and this to make up for it. But it's not the direction I'm not being led that way. This is not the Spirit saying it.
Well, this might be all nice and dandy, but what happened to the So the idea is that
super's not entirely my responsibility, at least.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
That is my opinion. I'm sticking to
it. Well, that's part of the problem. So the part of the big thing I'm listening to, and it's cool, because cool, and it's also convicting. Because when I was your age, I had all these opinions, and I was able to actually do a lot of things and be a lot more godly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then,
which is funny, because I'm like trying to lose a lot of my opinions right now.
Well, no, you don't lose your opinions.
Better
opinions. Right, but you're going to replace them with the right or better. I think they're the right ones, so you're the better ones.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. No, so the thing is that it changes dramatically for different people in different ways. So some people, it changes dramatically because they are now working in a business in which they have responsibilities, and so they feel more stressed over others' decisions. And maybe I didn't think of it this way until I'm just saying it now, because for me, when I was working I was working and had responsibilities. Well, no, maybe that's not true, because like even when I was part of FCA, I didn't stress about anything. I just was my own, came and had things that I heard from the Lord, shared those things, left, didn't have my opinion, didn't feel things were run the way that I thought they could be run. Like certain things I thought weren't scriptural, and we could be a lot better at meeting people's hearts and needs. But the big thing, the big shift was then when they put me in that position of president. Then all of a sudden, everything changed. Everything changed about when we started, if we were starting on time, making sure that we didn't go over in certain sections, worship didn't go too long, this didn't go this way, right? So it all changes when you have a responsibility. So that's why you don't have the same responsibility for the show as I do. If you did, I would be under your protection, and I would feel confident because I would be protected by you. But once the person has the responsibility, they have the role of protecting. And so that's where it changed. Like when I was younger, I could be for myself, responsible, godly, spirit-filled, all the things that we're supposed to be, to check them all off. And then everything went haywire when all of a sudden, all these things that were outside my control, especially, child after child, and we moved
also
into
my fault.
I don't know what you're saying, but I know you're kidding. But
so child after child, so I was the first problem. I interfered with your nice and dandy everything. Jesus,
are you trying to?
No.
Are you trying to have me say something that we try to have?
No,
okay.
Are you saying it's a me issue? Do I need to?
I'm glad that you're having fun with this. From the mind of James or whatever.
Oh, that scripture is actually supposed to be positive for us. From the mouth of James.
So you're praising him. So, anyway, my point, I'm going to stay on my point, not let you sidetrack me. And that's part of it, right? When we feel, we maintain our opinion in power. Right, we maintain it, then we don't get out of control, right? But then, and we don't let people push us around. That's a good thing you just did that, because it's a good example of the idea that this is just small gifts. But we don't let people push us around, and we don't react to how they do things. We form our opinions, and we have a message we want to share, and we stick with that, and we don't let someone mess with our message. So I didn't have the message to you that I was being patient with you until I felt like you just took advantage of it. It's just like I kept saying, okay, we have a couple minutes, so showtime, let's get on there, da-da-da-da, you know, 2 minutes, okay, now we're 2 minutes late, you know. I mean, so then I felt like you were taking advantage of me. No longer was my objective going to be met, right? So not only that, but I have a responsibility. You're not the one responsible to Lisa. I'm the one responsible to her. You know, all these.
She's the one always calling me when something happens, as if it's my show. I'm like, do you not have my mom's number, or do you think I'm in charge?
How many times has she called you?
3 times.
Regarding?
The show. Things that she was supposed to, obviously, were supposed to be called to you, but she talked to me like I was the one in charge. There wasn't even any of the technical stuff. It was just about the show as a whole. I forgot what it was because I forgave her and dismissed her for how I felt wrong, like, not calling her out right now because she's amazing, but I kind of felt a little, not offended, but, like, more or less, like, kind of like why are you talking to me when you're supposed to be talking to my mom about this, especially when my mom wasn't, like, in the same room, so I couldn't just pass the phone to her, so I had to, you know, answer the best of my ability.
I think because you were the techie. She knew that.
Yeah, she was. No, but it wasn't. It was there. Weren't conversations about being techie. There were conversations about the show, as in like the approach, the what's the word? Not production, but like the top down sort of thing, like guidelines and, you know, her preferences for how people run shows, and it's like, well. She talked to the boss man.
No, because you, as the things have changed a lot, but you were the actual one who was doing, supposed to from the beginning, be the interviewer. You're supposed to interview me. That whole format has changed, but that's why you were the host, because you were the one who had done radio. But then I started realizing you weren't asking the questions. And you seem to get behind, like even like today's show, it's like, you know, obviously I became the one who knew more, but I...
Well, of course you know more.
But the host is usually supposed to ask the question so that the guest or the person that, you know, the resident expert or whatever, the one with the, whatever, I was going to say something funny, but I can't think of what the words were. you know...
Person at large.
But the idea that... we're really off track right now because that's not, I don't know why. just went off a tangent about how this is, I don't know, now I can't even pull it back. But
no, I wasn't trying to make it about that. I was just trying to use it as an example, and then it became this little side topic of, I don't know.
Okay, so how were you using it as an example?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you're trying to, I think, prove a point that for some reason... You were the one, she called you instead of me. What was the point? She had your number more accessible, see, whatever.
I forgot what I was trying to say.
You're just trying to be funny.
No, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was actually trying to bring it to a point, and I forgot the point.
Okay.
There's no recollection of it.
Okay. So.
But I'm going to say, I want to say one more time, it's not me trying, it's not me being upset or salty about her calling me. It's just that I thought it was weird. That's all. It was a little funky. Okay, moving on.
Kinda. So the idea that we form opinions, and then what do we do with them? Because some of them are weird, like your opinion could actually be weird. Like she probably had, people have good reasons sometimes for doing something, and then we can't figure it out, and then all of a sudden they're the weird one. When it's actually us that's the weird one because we didn't figure out, or we misjudged it or whatever. I'm not saying that's what happened for you, but it's a good way to discuss it. The idea that what is our power? What is our power? And when we form opinions that hold any kind of pity party in there, where we push back at somebody else, and we are no longer bringing it to the Lord, like you could say, hey, Lord, you know, I think that Lisa, I'm sorry, we're going to use you as an example now. Wow, that happened. But,
we love you.
But it's like,
you know, hey,
17 heart emojis.
Or then this is not even, I don't even think this is real, but this is just for example. It's like, you know, hey, Lord, Lisa seems to be, like, overwhelmed right now and off base calling me, and she should call my mom. So I'm going to pray for her, and I'm going to ask that you help her to remember that, you know, this is my number, not mom's, or, you know, that just help her to be more on top of this, or help me to understand her. Help me to make sure we don't have a problem so she doesn't have to call me. You know, this is, to me, the better way to use our opinion. This is the example from such a small thing, but we really should use it for every small thing. We should really use it for all the different things that we have to offer to help make things better for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, or for ourselves, because it doesn't help us to say, oh, they're weird.
Yep.
That's no power for us. That's
no power for anybody.
Correct.
It's fluff. It's nothing. There's no substance to it. It doesn't do anything at all.
So I was just making sure that we didn't actually hang up the phone.
It's right there.
Okay, good. So we should break to a commercial, and then we'll come back and continue on. And then at some point, I see John's hands up here, so we will have John pipe right on in. So we'll probably come back and talk a little more, get regrouped, and then bring you in.
Sorry.
Anyone else, too? The phone number is?
347-855-8301. It is 347-855-8301. We will be right back.
It's good to see your face again. It's been a while. How am I doing? Well, I get by somehow. You sure look good since your new love came in your life. You know I didn't see that fire in you. He's found. Oh, but I can see it now. Look in your eyes, and I never had you hold me that tight, and I never saw you dance with your feet off the ground. Oh, but I see it now. More beautiful. Letting go has been so hard on me. And sitting here, it's clear to see what he means to you. The way you look at him, it ain't no mystery. He's all I couldn't be. Oh, I never saw that look in your eyes, and I never had you hold me that tight, and I never saw with your
Easy money. Easy money.
Who is getting your money? If you are being hijacked by corruption in your government, you will quickly realize that you are stuck with no way out. Find out how your life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll, at the fourth branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
Hello. Hello. That's going to. Mom, where are you? I think I lost my mom, guys. I don't know what to do. Hello, welcome back to Your Battle to Win. And this week we are talking about the undermining of your power. And in our last segment, we were kind of we're just diving in depth as to where our opinions could be at, where not only where they are at fault, but how we can adjust and improve upon them. And we're having our own discussion here about how we're able to sharpen each other to be able to exploit where our – why am I fumbling over my words? I'm so tired. That's my – no. But basically, you know, where we're able to see where our wrong opinions will be our downfall and how we can avoid that.
Yeah, and for me, I see it as not being our wrong opinions more than our putting our opinions in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if we were supposed to be perfect, we would have been created perfect. We would have been already perfect. But we're supposed to develop that perfection, and we need Him in that process. And so the purpose of prayer is to get to know Him and develop ourselves to become more like Him and more perfect. And so, you know, that's the intention of Scripture. That's the intention of the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead us into all truth. There's a process involved, you know, that we are to hide the word in our hearts that we won't sin against Him. And so these words are powerful. Like, the word sin is actually a powerful word that has been shaped into something that's negative, and then therefore people's opinion of the word becomes negative. And so what happens is, you know, there are two main points that I think that I keep wanting to make sure that we cover, and that's one is that we have to have a process. We have to remember our own process at first, but somehow culturally, maybe Christian culturally or just our education culturally or parenting culturally, we have to figure this out, how we make sure that we bring to the forefront everything that needs to be laid as the foundation for upbringing, for bringing child rearing, for bringing, you know, kids up, so that we do not continue what's happened, you know, this big misleading and our inability for us to really form proper opinions, but higher opinions, better opinions, and what to do with those opinions. And then the other part of it is then our being able to see that, and this is actually the crux of the show, and I'm not sure we really covered it as well as you just wanted to make it sound like we covered it the last half of the show.
I was trying.
I know. But
I'm not good at recap.
But the big thing is we must take those opinions that we have formed and stop using them to complain and to grumble and to have a pity party and to stew in these opinions.
Mm-hmm.
To stew because it's becoming arrogant. It becomes all the things that we don't want to become using these opinions. Instead, these opinions, they can either be used for good or for bad. And the bad is, you know, really non-productive and aligning with what's bad, you know, what's negative, what's detrimental, what's harmful, what's evil, what's corrupt, what's degrading. You know, whatever these words are. I mean, I had a conversation with someone who's very upset with my use of the word evil, and I totally get it because I hated that word too. It was just too evil. It was too far beyond me to think that man's behavior could be evil, or that especially Christians' behaviors could be evil. But now I know better, and evil's not as
looming of a word. It's something very important to really understand that sin is evil and there's nothing wrong with the word sin. And that these are just descriptive words of things that we have to be able to put a definition to and then use properly. So the idea that, well, if we use our opinions by bringing them before the Father and saying, hey, you know what, this is what I noticed. Jared seems to be running late, kind of lately. You know, like with your friends. Some of your friends that really run late, right? You've been praying for, and you see a big change in them and their ability to see it themselves and make some changes. So our prayers really are, they work, you know, because they come to the Father's heart, and He wants, these are all the things He wants. If we come before Him and we tell Him the things that He really wants for us, He's just like, yeah, And so then why doesn't He just do it? Why does He need our input? Why does He need or want our opinion or what we put in?
Mm.
It's really to get to know Him. I mean, it's really for us to get to know Him.
So for us to know Him, He wants our opinion?
Yes. Do you not get it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
My brain hurts. It could be I'm just tired. But
okay, so the amazing thing is that He never changes. This is what, oh my goodness, this was like such an amazing revelation. I mean, not that He never changes, because that's like, I guess, obvious or whatever, or, you know, a foundational scripture that people, Christians throughout all the time, in fact, actually argue over and say He can't change His mind. So He doesn't change His mind because He is absolutely consistent on how.
Well, here's a question.
Okay.
Is there a difference between changing who you are versus changing your mind?
Well, I think people's opinion on what they feel like God's mind can't change. The mind must be consistent.
What's the difference between the heart and the mind?
Well, people have different opinions on
because
that.
David was a man after God's own heart, not God's mind.
Right, and we have the mind of Christ, but yet, you know, our minds can be deceived too as our hearts. And, you know, to me, the different distinctions are because this, you know, He always talks about the testimony of two, there are three witnesses. And so I believe He's built into us these multiple witnesses that we have to testify whether or not what we're thinking or believing is true. And He helps bear those testimonies in us based upon, you know, something. You know, He says He's given us conscience that bears witness in Romans. And, you know, I believe my belief in it, you know, I haven't done study recently, but there were years that this was, like, so important to me. And so I kind of rested on the idea that people have different opinions, so they don't really know. Scripture kind of seems to be a little inconsistent, so it gets flip-flopped around, and that could be on interpretation. But I have looked up in the Greek and the Hebrew and seen that it just seems like not necessarily as consistent as I would like it to be. But I rest on the idea that our mind is this place of thinking, and it's governed by our neurology, the neurochemistry. And then the heart is more our emotions, which is the hormonal chemical portion that also then interconnects obviously with neurology. But it's a different, completely, the endocrine system completely is different, and it definitely testifies one way or another. I mean, our emotions get all whacked out, our heart can get all whacked out, you know, how we feel about something can get all messed up, or it can be really sound and strong. And those things are all reflected into something physical, right? So there's this attachment between the temple and, you know, what?
Can you tell them what?
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of anything.
Oh,
I'm still listening.
Okay. So there's connection between the spiritual and the physical. And, you know, the temple is, to me, the connect the connector point, you know, it's the plug-in point. And so I know people have a little trouble understanding. I think we all do. I mean, I'm not saying anything other people have more. I just maybe put a little more time. I put a lot more prayer than maybe most people. And then also because of my studies in the field of, you know, the body and function, physiology, you know. So so that, I don't know if that answered the question, but it does tie into your power, and we have to do a show and really go into that. But I quickly want, because I want John to be able to chime in. In fact, we can put you on, but I'm going to finish this thought too. The scriptures are so true, and that the Father doesn't change, that there is no change in Him. But He wants us to align with Him, and when we do, He can make something change. I mean, just like, you know, we can rearrange a room. I mean, He can change the circumstances. He does all the time, every day. He orchestrates things according to what He wants. It's just not all pre-programmed and He does, like, you know, a rerun of the show, right? It's not that. It's like He's fully engaged with us. It's just that He never changes. Every principle that He set are principles that He wants. And that when we align with it, it gives Him joy. It is something that is pleasing to Him. Our faith pleases Him, He says, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because we have to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So this diligent seeking of Him is absolutely critical, and it is our power, because it is our power to know Him. And there's some other really good points, but I know that the show is, you know, kind of gone a little bit. We're kind of getting to the end of the time frame. And there was one more point I wanted to make, but I think I'm going to see if it comes back. And if not, we'll tie it into a different show and let John come on. Hey, John.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, here. Yep.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
So, we're doing well. I worked out too hard today.
Oh no.
But yeah, so that's just a little side note. But how about you? Do you have things, you know, you had a hand up, and you know, we kind of covered some ground, went on some roads we didn't think we were going on, that hopefully were helpful.
Oh, you guys are delightful. And really, what you said about, the most brilliant thing when you said about how the first thing in Corinthians about love is that it's patient. I mean, that was just like a mind-blowing insight. That was so great. And, you know, one of my absolute favorite authors, John of the Cross, that's what he says, really, is that patience is the key. I mean, it's brilliant. It's such good stuff. You guys are amazing. I mean, God is amazing, but He's working through you. So it's just really encouraging.
It's amazing to how He ties it in, right? Because He's working on us, and we don't have to, but we really do have to just trust Him, right? He's the one that ties it all in, so we hear the same messages. We're like, oh, you really are. Really are working. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a really powerful kind of a reconciliation with my family today, so I'm just kind of in the glow of that too, I guess.
Wow, that's
It's been quite a week. Earlier today I was at a peace prayer, you know, interreligious prayer for, you know, just for peace. And I had people there from, you know, clergy from all different faiths and doing readings. And I mean, you know, there was nothing that interesting about it necessarily, but just, I'm glad I went because I ran into someone I knew and kind of passionate about it. So we're talking, especially chatting online right now, multitasking. But anyways, yeah, I mean, just, you know, I'll just say and you're just kind of spilling my guts here, but I think that I know we talked about spirituality a little bit, and you know, it's really about the heart. That's what I think. Hold on, I'm gonna BRB on the. So he's not wondering. it's really about the heart and about journeying from the head to the heart. And I think, that every good tradition, every decent tradition has something to say on that. Like, and a lot of times we misunderstand them because they're in the context of very different cultures, whose mores we may not necessarily, we may have trouble with, like in Eastern Christianity, there's the hesychast prayer. Like they, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I mean, it's really kind of even Eastern Orthodox Christians don't always know what this is. I've asked them and they don't even want to talk about it. But it's about journeying from the head to the heart. I think that's what it's all about. Like this whole life. And you know, getting out of the drama and rising above all the, you know, really just the way the life can tear us apart. I think that's what it is. Like, not talking about the biological, anatomical head or heart, but like, you know, from, and it may not be the heart, it might be more the gut. Like when, like, you know how women talk about their hearts, but guys talk about their guts? Like, I think it's the same thing. You know, like a gut. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I did a bunch of study on this, and he talks about the bowels as something very different than the heart, but it's very important.
The bowels.
No, the bowels are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of talk now about how the bowels control motions through the balance of the flora that's there. So you have to have a healthy bowel in order to have healthy thoughts and healthy emotions. But those, you know, like I said, we should go, yeah, exactly. The eating healthy is important, but we should definitely go into this in another show because it sounds like you're interested in that as well, and then probably others have some input and, you know, we can have maybe a lively conversation around that, because
wow.
You know, we're at 11 minutes here on the pity party part, and I realize I really didn't go into how severe those pity parties can be, right?
You're fine. I should tell you, your voice it kind of trails off once in a while, and it just did that now, so I didn't quite get that.
Well, I'm just, we're at 10 minutes now on the show, and I realize that I really didn't go deeper, because I know some people are really struggling with, like, they go into major pity parties, not just the light ones like Jared and I were covering, you know, something small, which I think is really important. I think the small things that we do are just as important as the huge, big pity parties we have, because they all tie into each other. Our lack of discipline actually creates us to go into these pity parties at any time we feel like it. But some of the bigger, heavier ones, they're very difficult to get out of, and they undermine our power. I mean, it's really obvious. But most of the time, it's because we can't get a grip on that power. We can't really understand what our power is, or we don't really know how to bring it all to the Father, right? So I'm going to kind of jump back on topic. I'm sorry, but... And if you have comments that you want to go on that direction, and then let's do what you were talking about on the show, because I really would like to cover that. Do you have opinions on, I can't read that, I'm sorry. I still can't read it. Too small. Okay. Okay. Jared's comment to me is, next week we will be back with bigger pity parties. He didn't quite say it like that, but yeah, so maybe we cover the bigger pity parties.
I didn't want to jump into
the decision. No, you could have said that. You would have been fine.
Next week, we'll be back with bigger
pity.
Next week, we'll talk about bigger pity. Yeah, I can't talk. Never mind.
Bigger pity parties, because there's some serious things that we're going through. I mean, the enemy comes against us in some pretty big ways, and we do not feel we have power to come back at it.
And maybe really we have to come to terms if we don't. Apart from really understanding the fullness of the power that we've been given, we don't have power. And then that's what we're talking about, the power of our opinion before the Lord. But that opinion is based a lot upon not only what we think or feel or our gut says, right? But it really boils down to how much are we wanting to know what the Father wants and what he says. And that's really what we were talking about these last weeks without probably hitting the nail on the head like maybe we needed to, that the power of our opinion is important because it is going somewhere, but it has to be headed in the direction of knowing the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Word. I mean, it really rests upon the fullness of the Word. And there has to be a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and it becomes the entirety of what Scripture says. And we will go into that deeper next week. We'll tie both of the bigger pity parties and the power that we really, these opinions and how powerful we want to make them. So why don't we say that that's what we're going to do for next week. And John, I enjoy your contribution to the show. So let's spend we have remaining 7 minutes. And we might do a little recap at the very end if it comes to us. But if you have things that you had in mind and you were thinking about when we were talking or just wanted to bring up in terms of topics, go ahead. Are you back? Are you doing something?
No, that was just about it. I didn't. I was kind of like I said, I was kind of multitasking here today, but I did want to.
Oh, you're fine.
I mean, I'm basically listening to the whole thing, but boy, that just really jumped out at me, and I don't know. You got a gift. It's amazing. Keep doing it.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you had some amazing revelation, relationship breakthroughs, because that's the next thing. I mean, it really is between us and the Father, but it's like so much between us and our neighbors, our family and those we love. Guys,
yep.
So important. I'm so grateful.
Well, it gets distractions out of the way so you can focus on that one relationship that matters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they matter. I mean, they your family definitely matters. I mean.
Yeah, don't kick them out.
Yeah. Well, it all matters. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to somehow get to a place where we are so much more maybe so much more courageous is the word, to be in relationship with family or friends, where it's so much more the commitment is so much deeper and the permanency is so much greater.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't think we go there in our prayers. I think a lot of our prayers, that power of our opinion, it gets inhibited because we are too, our opinions are short-sighted, for one. And the other thing is that we, I think we're afraid. We're afraid to go to a place because things are so inconsistent in our culture. We don't know when something's going to change or blow up in our face, mm-hmm. right? But that's the enemy. And then we need to be prayerful about this and really understand the oneness, because the Father, the prayer was by Jesus, is that he wanted the world to know that the Father and Son were one by the love and oneness that we shared. The unity of faith, our purpose, all these things are so critical. But, I've been really praying about that because I'm like, how are we going to get there? I know we're going to get there. But, we're so raw from all the pain that has happened, from all the loss, really the deception that's happened in our culture. So, what's happening for you today with your family is just really, really, really key. And then we'll be praying for you that, it just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just remembered something else you said earlier that I connected with was how, you said you went through that time where you didn't want to use the word evil, and I know exactly. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but I could totally relate to that. So it's really fun.
I know. I think a lot of believers have trouble with a lot of different words, not just evil. And so if we're having trouble saying those words, I think those are the first steps of bringing those opinions before the Father, is everything that feels awkward or weird or those are inhibiting were things that we need to bring to the Father. These opinions, we have to say, hey, you know, I have an opinion that I hate the word evil, I don't want to use it. I don't like it when other people use it, and I don't know why you use it in your word. I mean, I think we need to get to the place where our opinion, we are so free, we are so connected with the Father that we are so free to bring up all of our opinions because they're prevalent, you know, our weird opinions too.
It's like a trigger word for some people. Well, we can't be afraid to, you know, I hate trigger words because I really love language, you know. It's kind of one of my areas of obsession. And I really want it to stay rich and stay, you know, keep the language weird. Keep it, you know, keep the words, keep them alive, you know. And
right.
So the freedom to express ourselves in whatever way. And, of course, you know, I never mean absolute evil, like in some really archetypical sense. But, you know, it doesn't always have to mean that. But there are evils. I mean, it's just like, you know, and the fear of that word is the real problem, I think. But I never really went through that. And then I was like, well, and I found myself using it because I'm like, well, some things, you know. Now, obviously, hopefully you can transcend that perspective and kind of realize that there's God above everything, you know, but still.
Yeah.
It's a very useful word, especially when we really do see things that are just outright deceptive. You know, I mean, what else are you going
right.
to say?
You know? Well, right. And that really, when you think about pointing in the direction of evil, we have to be able to use that with our kids and with other people, because if they can't see that the choice is pointing them in the direction of evil, you know, and then therefore is evil.
Mm-hmm.
That if we can't be honest with these, then that's part of the things that we missed out on, I think, in terms of developing our youth, you know, as young people are developing them.
I mean, I wouldn't overuse it. I would also, a lot of times I'll use the word toxic for something that I don't know that it's evil, but I know it's affecting me in a bad way. So I'll say it's toxic, and that's sort of a little bit different. But.
Right. And I think culturally that's where we're at, and if we have to culturally make some transitions, I think that's fine. I'm getting the 60-second warning. The game is almost over. I don't know how the game went today, but, you know, that's another topic.
Yeah, that's a topic for another time.
So we have about 45 seconds, and, you know, we will cover next week again.
We'll dive deeper into the pity party.
Right, and really even more about what our power is. So we'll kind of tie the two together, get a little deeper, and make it so that we are much more equipped to handle where we're going in our culture, because there's a lot of changes that have to happen. And like you said, John, that some of it needs to be, like, you know, some words need to be used first because they're more acceptable or more understandable. So we thank you, and we thank all the listeners, and we look forward to
we'll see you all next Sunday at 6 p.m. PST.